Okay, so I'm reading from Jude, starting at verse 17. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Tom Simpson. I'm one of the ministers here, and it's great to be looking at this final bit of the letter of Jude. So, let's have a think. Do keep that passage open, by the way. Now, I was listening to a radio phone-in a number of years ago, and it was about procrastination, and someone rang in with this story. They said, well, when we moved to our house in 1993, we bought a whiteboard, and we diligently wrote a load of jobs on the board that we wanted to do on the house, now that we'd bought it, now that we've moved in. Anyway, we moved house a couple of years ago, and when we did, at the back of the garage, behind all the boxes, we found this whiteboard. Amazingly, it still had a load of the jobs written on it, and we still hadn't done any of them. Now, I don't know if that's typical for you. I know that there's a certain amount of my own life in there, and it's funny, isn't it? We smile because there's a ring of truth about it for all of us. We all have things in our lives that we find hard to see through to the end. You know, some things are hard to finish because we just don't want to do the job. You know, we just want to find the opportunity to give up finishing the washing up. Other things like learning a musical instrument or those people are coming over to learn English. Learning a language is hard because there's no end. There's no, you know, kind of rubber stamp to say you have finished. Other things are hard to finish because they don't go our way. There's some sort of adversity, whether from other people or from some situation that arises. And the same is true for us as Christians. It's hard to keep going. We have to deal with things not being clear, not knowing where to go or what to do. We have to deal with other people in the church or in the world throwing stuff in our general direction or at us directly and having to respond. It's hard. And I think for all of us, this is our experience. But let's not despair, because Jude has some really, really helpful words for us here today. It's exactly what we need to hear in these situations. And we'll see three things over these eight verses. Firstly, we'll see don't be surprised. Then we should keep ourselves in God's love. And finally, he finishes with those words that are so famous. He breaks out in praise for the one who keeps us. Now, in the last few months, all UK adults have been summoned for a vaccination. And I guess for many of us, it's a relatively familiar drill. You get booked in, you go see the nurse, they check your details, and they get you ready for the injection by saying, now this, you may feel a small scratch, before then sticking a needle in your arm. And firstly, let's be clear, this does not feel like a small scratch. It feels like somebody's sticking a needle in your arm. And that's got nothing to do with the rest of the sermon. It's just something I wanted to get off my chest. But the reason they say those words is so that you're not surprised by what comes next. I mean, we wouldn't want to just sort of sit in the chair and then go and just get you straight away. I mean, we might wriggle out of the way, it just might all go wrong. We need that warning, don't we? We're warned so that we're not surprised. And in the same way, Jude's just finished describing these people he warned about all the way back in verse 4. He said, they are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. And he spent the rest of the passage that we were looking at last week warning what's going to happen to those people. And then in verse 17, he turns from talking about the ungodly people to talking about the godly people. Look at verse 17 with me. But dear friends, beloved, he has such warm feelings for them. Remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in these last times, there will be scoffers who follow their own ungodly desires. The key message that Jude wants to say to the Christians, these dear friends that he's writing to, is don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when things are hard. This is nothing out of the ordinary. In fact, it's exactly what the apostles said would happen. And he's not quoting from a specific apostle or a specific moment that's recorded elsewhere in the Bible. It's more of a kind of summary. But if you've read anything of that summary, or if you've read any of the rest of the New Testament, you'll know this is very familiar words. You might think of the end of Acts 20 would be another place, or from 1 Timothy. And so the Christians of Jude's day are not to be surprised. The church will always be at risk from people secretly sneaking in and trying to subvert its teaching and lead people away from God. Not only are they expected, Jude reminds us what these scoffers, these people who try and change the words, well, he warns them what they're like. They are those who follow their own ungodly desires. They may give the impression of holiness. Remember, these are people within inside the church. They may look good, but it's hollow. It's hollow. They're following their own hearts rather than God. And verse 19 shows the consequence of that. I think this is a really interesting verse on the nature of church. These people on the inside, well, they may have looked very impressive. They may have been very persuasive and influential people within the church, whether up the front or in the pews. But people who follow their own desires divide the church, not unite it. And the thing that holds God's church together is God's Holy Spirit. That's the glue that binds Christians together. Anyone involved in the church who is in it for themselves, rather than seeking the glory of God, well, they will split the church, not unite it. And this is why Jude is encouraging Christians to contend for the faith, to fight for it, as we saw last week. Because these types of people being involved in church can be really damaging. They not only condemn themselves, they divide the church. But Christians shouldn't be surprised, should they? They've been warned about this. And we should be warned too. There are plenty of examples down the ages of people coming to church to use it as a vehicle for their own ends rather than the glory of God. So it shouldn't be a surprise to us either. Now, a number of years ago, Gemma and I walked the length of Hadrian's Wall. There's a small section of it there. And in the grand scheme of kind of long-distance walking, it's not that far. It's 84 miles. But it's the longest walk that Gemma and I had done. And there were sections of the walk where we were tired, where the weather wasn't as nice as you see it is in that picture, when we're in the middle of nowhere with kind of no reference points or things to aim at. And in those moments, we just had to keep putting one foot in front of the other. We just had to keep going until we reached our next rest stop, that next cafe, our next hotel for the night, or the end of the route even. And we were motivated to do it. We'd set ourselves this challenge, but it required efforts on our part to keep going, to see it through to the very end. And that's true of anything we want to achieve, isn't it? I once remember reading that the world-class violinist, Jasker Heifetz, well, he had a lot of natural talent, but the only reason he got to be so good was because he committed early on to practicing for 4 hours a day. That level of commitment, that ability to keep himself going, well, there must have been those days when it was hard, where he didn't want to. But he had a goal in mind of being a brilliant violinist. Now, Jude's told these Christians that they're not to be surprised when hard things come. And then secondly, he tells them how to counter these hard times, these bad influences within the church. They're to keep themselves in God's love. Look at verses 20 and 21 again. See how Jude addresses them again? Dear friends. This is someone who wants the best for those believers. And what does he want for them? Well, he wants them to keep themselves in God's love. Jude is urging Christians to hold on to God's love, to keep themselves following God's path. In my head, it's a bit like being in the shower. You know, you can be in the bath or in the shower cubicle, and the shower can be running, but you can stand in a certain place where you're not actually getting very wet, or it's just your toes. To experience the full benefits of the shower, you've got to dunk yourself right under the middle, haven't you? You've got to put yourself in the path of the water. And Jude says that to enjoy the full benefits of following God in this life, to keep yourselves going, you've got to keep yourself in God's love. Now, this isn't just endless working for the sake of it. Christians are to keep themselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. This work, this effort of keeping ourselves in God's love, this is what Christians are to do as we wait for Jesus' return. I think it tells us something about what it means once we become a Christian. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus. We receive God's forgiveness. And there can be a sense of, well, okay, what now? We know that Jesus will one day take us to be with him, but what are we to do in the meantime? And this is where Jude is really helpful. We're not to just sit on our backsides like a load of lemons. No, we're to keep ourselves in God's love. Now, have you ever had one of those moments where someone's giving instructions, you know, whether that's school or university or work, they've told you to get on with something, but you've not got the first clue of what to do? It could be really frustrating, can't it? Now, I've been saying that Christians should keep themselves in God's love for the last 5 minutes without any indication of how someone should actually do such a thing, which is a bit unfair, really, because well, Jude doesn't leave people in the dark. He's really clear about what Christians should do. They should build themselves up, and they should rescue others. Let's look again at verse 20. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love. This is the clue. This is the answer. We're to build ourselves up. Now, when someone builds something, they lay foundations, don't they? They build solid walls. They put a good roof on to provide shelter. It's hard work, isn't it? It takes time. If you've ever walked past a building site, it's something that is laborious. And the Christian, too, is to build themselves up They're to put in the hard work. They're to lay solid foundations of their faith. They're to build the solid walls of knowing God, of experiencing Him. They won't be there to put on that roof that means that they're not wet in bad weather. And they're to pray. They're to call on God for His help. They're to ask Him to point them in the right direction, to teach them. We're to build our faith and we're to pray so that we can be confident. And this is going to not just impact themselves, it's going to impact those around us as well. Look on at the following verses, 22 and 23. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. The impact of those well-established, those built-up Christians is that they're able to rescue others. And this particularly is in the context of a church where people are being pulled this way and that, where they've been influenced by those divisive false Christians that we saw a few verses ago. They're able to help, aren't they? They're to be merciful to those whose faith isn't sure, where they've got questions, where they don't fully understand. But these built-up Christians, they're also like firefighters. They're to go crashing through the flames to rescue those in danger. And even on to those who are even more entangled in these lies, these false things that they've seen and heard. That idea of that hating even their clothing stained by corrupting flesh is this that it's got so bad that their this falsehood has got so bad that it's even affecting their skin. And this all builds on what we were seeing over these last couple of this last week. We saw Jude's call to contend for the faith, and these few verses are exactly what contending looks like. The Christian is to do the work of building themselves up in faith, keeping themselves in God's love, and as they do so, they'll be able to rescue others, contending with those who would lead believers astray. And this is where the rubber hits the road for us too. How are you looking after your faith? Is it something that you're investing in? Is it something that you're committing your time, your effort, your money to? Or is it like some kitchen product bought on a whim, glanced at from time to time, but not really used? We must keep ourselves in God's love, not just for ourselves, but for those around us too. Now, the week after next marks the start of the Tokyo Olympic Games, and one of the events I'm most looking forward to is the team pursuit in track cycling. It's the kind of pinnacle of cycling speed and power, but it all comes down to that single rider at the front of the train, leading the others behind, not just hauling themselves forwards, but those behind them as well. But as each rider takes their turn on the front, gives it absolutely everything they've got, they're not on their own, are they? Not only have they got their teammates behind them, they've got the people off the track as well, the medical team, the trainers, the coaches, the fans screaming them on. They've got everyone who's brought them to that point to enable them to do their stuff. As each rider does their turn, they're supported, they're kept in the right place. And that's a bit like how Jude finishes his letter. He's warned of the dangers to the church, he's encouraged them to fight and contend, but the start and the finish of the letter are bookended by this same theme, all built around the same single word, keep. The Christian is someone who is kept safe in God. That's how we started the letter all the way back in verse 1. to those who have been called Christians, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. And that's how Jude finishes the letter. And in fact, if you've got a spare moment, look through the letter at how Jude uses the word keep. And that's how he finishes it in these famous words: to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. It's framed as a prayer, isn't it, these last few verses, a prayer of praise. But the aspect that Jude chooses to pick up on is the idea of God being the one able to keep the believer going. Although the believer is to work to keep themselves in God's love, like that track cyclist, they're not doing it alone. They're keeping themselves as they are being kept by God. And Jude shows this with a little play on words. It's not immediately obvious in English, but it's there in the original. The word we translate as present could also be translated stand. God is able to keep you from stumbling over and instead stand you up, to stop you from falling over in the faith, to enable you to stand before God with great rejoicing. Jude is saying it's like a parent holding a child's hands as they walk. The child is doing the walking, but actually it's the parent keeping them going. And the Christian is the one who is to keep themselves in God's love. They're to do the work of faith, but they're not alone. Our loving Heavenly Father is there to keep us, to hold on to us, to help us forwards. Because God loves us so much, because God has such a great and glorious plan for us, the one who is able to present us in his sight, well, Jude just breaks out in praise. He can't help himself. To the only God be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. God is the one worthy of praise and adulation. And so this whole letter is a balance. The Christian needs to be on their guard. They need to be contending for the faith. They need to be keeping themselves in God's love. But they're not doing it alone. They're not slaving away, trying to get God to like them enough, to deign to him to turn his face to them. No. God keeps us in his love, just as we work towards loving him and growing as a Christian. So where does this leave us? Well, I was reminded as I was considering these verses of Jesus in John 15. He talks about the vine and the branches. Maybe you remember. He says there that he is the vine and the Christian are the branches. And the job of the branches on a vine is to bear fruit, isn't it? And we as Christians are to do the same thing. We're to produce something, to do the work, to live for Jesus. But a branch can only produce fruit as it's tied into the rest of the vine. And the Christian can only live for God, can only keep themselves in God's love as they are kept by God the Father, while we wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so I think that's what this passage leads us to consider. We're called to keep ourselves in God's love. So let's keep motivated. Let's keep the end goal in mind. Let's work at deepening our faith and encouraging one another. Because as we build ourselves up, well, not only will we keep ourselves pointed towards God, we'll save others. We'll be able to help and keep the church strong. But as we do so, we'll be sustained and supported by God. So let's encourage ourselves and others. Let's keep going as we wait for the day when Jesus will come to take us home. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we know that life as a Christian won't always be easy, whether that's in the world around us or even in the church. But thank you, Lord God, that you warn us that this will be the case. So when hard times come, help us not to be surprised, to call your warnings to mind. And as we wait, Lord God, please encourage our hearts, help us to keep motivated to build ourselves up, to be dedicated to the work of loving you. Lord God, I pray that we would be seeing that worked out more and more in our lives with each passing day, with each passing moment. But as we do so, thank you, Lord God, that you keep us, safe, that you give us the endurance and the ability to keep going. And so to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.